Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 47. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. By authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see that the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the cosmic manifestation is His energy. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. Therefore, O my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades wood, those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both the cause and effect. Purport. As described in previous verses, many so-called students of spiritual understanding follow the 10 different methods known as Mauna, Vrata, Shruta, Tapo, Dhyayana, Swa, Dharma, Vyakya, Raho, Japa, Samadhyana. These may be very attractive, but by following such methods, one cannot actually understand the real cause and effect and the original cause of everything. Janmadhyasya yataha. The original source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Sarva Karana Karana. The original source of everything is Krishna, the Supreme Ruler. Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He has His eternal spiritual form. Indeed, He is the root of everything. Bijamam Sarva Bhutanam. Whatever manifestations exist, their cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This cannot be understood by so-called silence or any other hodgepodge method. The Supreme Cause can be understood only by devotional service, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21, the Supreme Godhead personally says, Bhaktiham Ekaya Graya. One can understand the original cause of all causes, the Supreme Person, only by devotional service, not by show, bottle, exhibitionism. Text again. Rupe ime sarasati tava veda shriste bijankara viva nachanyara rupakasya yuktak samaksham uvayatra vichakshante tvam yogena vani iva darushu nanyatraksat. By authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see that the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the cosmic manifestation is His energy. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. Therefore, O my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire permeates wood, those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both the cause and effect. Maa Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pajarne Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Pasketya De Satarne. In the Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, Krishna says, Aham Saravasya Prabhavo Matak Saravam Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. That one who understands that I am the source of everything and that for me both the spiritual and material worlds come, they engage in my devotional service and they worship me with all their hearts. In other words, one who can actually understand where everything is coming from, then actually one will become attracted to that person. It is said in the Vedas, Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Striyaha Jnana Vairagayos Chaiva Shanam Bhaga Itin Ganaha.
That the Supreme Lord, He has all opulence. That is, Aishvaryasya Samagrasya.
So Aishvarya means wealth. No one can be wealthier than Krishna. Krishna showed how wealthy he was when he was here 5,000 years ago.
It mentioned that he had 16,108 different palaces, and in each palace, every day, he used to give away 13,054 cows. Maybe not every day, but on some special days from each palace, he gave away 13,054 cows.
And they were not ordinary cows. They would be silver hoofs, golden horns, nice silk wrappers, and he wouldn't give them away, as usual, to any ordinary Brahmin, but to only highly qualified Brahmins.
And at the same time, it is mentioned that within his palace in Dwarka, so much opulence was there. For each one of his 16,108 different queens, he had a separate palace with so many thousands of maidservants. And in each palace, there was not ordinary lighting, but it was lit by the jewels hanging from the ceiling, so many canopies, pearls, lapis lazuli, furniture made out of ivory. So, Krishna displayed a little bit of his opulence when he was here 5,000 years ago. And samagrasya means it's complete. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that no bahunaitena kim gyatena to arjuna vishtavyaham idam kritsnam ekam shena stitojaga. That whatever glorious, wonderful creations that we see within this material world, we have to understand spring from but a spark of Krishna's splendor. That with a single fragment of Krishna's energy, he both pervades and supports the entire cosmic manifestation. It is explained that just like fire, what is that verse? Just like fire is in one place, so Joshna Vistrani Yata Parasya Brahmana Shaktis Tate Dam Akilam Jagat. So Eka Desha Sitas Yagya Joshna Vistrani Yata Parasya Brahmana Shaktis Tate Dam Akilam Jagat. So just like fire is in one place, Eka Desha Sitas Yagya. But it's heat and light are pervading everywhere. So similarly, Parasya Brahmana Shaktis, the Supreme Lord, although he's one person, by his energies he diffuses everywhere, both his material and spiritual energy. So whatever right now we see before us is actually Krishna's energy, both his material energy as well as the living entities within the material world, known as Jiva Shakti or marginal potency. So actually, there is nothing but Krishna and Krishna's energies. But in the material world, because we have different ideas, what is the source, what is the cause, what is the reaction, therefore we've invented so many other goals other than Krishna. Krishna is actually the goal of life, because everyone is searching for the greatest amount of, especially pleasure. It is said, Ananda Maya Vyasa. That Krishna, he's the source of all pleasure. And according to one's understanding, one is searching for that Ananda Maya Vyasa in different ways. For instance, those who are in the gross material conception of life, known as Anamaya, they think pleasure is if I get something to eat. In Spanish, they say, Barriga llena, corazón contento. That is, if your stomach is full, the heart is satisfied. This is called anamaya. And many people are on that platform, looking simply for something to eat. And beyond that, on another higher realm of consciousness or experience is pranamaya. That is, being able to discriminate between what's alive and what's dead. Therefore, an amoeba, he may surround anything to eat it, but a little bit higher consciousness, one avoids the dead things and tries to appreciate what's alive. Discrimination. And on a higher level of consciousness, just like breathing, prana actually means life air, existence, coming from breathing. So one has more consciousness, one more energy. One is a little bit more, less in the mode of ignorance, simply centered around the gross body, but a little bit more into the life force of the energy. And on the manamaya platform, or gyanamaya, then one discriminates between life symptoms. Not only life symptoms, but also one has the thinking, feeling, and willing process. For the animals, there's only stimuli and response. Those who are on the grossest platform, everything is food. Just like a child, whatever you put into a child's hand, immediately it's food. Doesn't matter what it is. Whether it's actually food, or it's a razor blade, or whatever it is. Whatever comes into the hand, immediately it's food. On the pranamaya platform, one looks for living entities as food, or things that used to be alive as food. And avoids things that are completely dead, like rocks. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was one day eating dirt. So his mother said, "Why are you eating dirt? There are so many nice sweetmeats available that I'm willing to give you. Why are you going around eating dirt?" Also, in his previous lifetime, he was also eating dirt, so it became a habit. Even though Mother Jasoda had caught him in the act, and all his friends had complained, but he had eaten so much dirt, when Mother Jasoda looked into his mouth, she saw all the universes, and she saw all the planets, and all this, the sun, the moon, Lord Brahma. He had eaten so much, he had become addicted to eating like that. So in his next lifetime, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he again started to eat dirt. So his mother, who had incarnated to watch after him again began to question, "Why are you eating so much dirt?" And he said, "Dirt?" He said, "Whether it's a sweetmeat or dirt, it's all transformations of the same energy." So his mother started to preach to him that actually, in the form of a bucket, dirt can carry water. But if it's not put into the form of a bucket, then it doesn't have that facility to carry water. Therefore, one has to make some discrimination. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching Mayavadi philosophy, but fortunately he had a good mother, and therefore she corrected him, and he became a personalist. He gave up his Mayavadi philosophy. So this is pranamaya. What is alive and what is dead? Some discrimination. And above that, manamaya, thinking, feeling, willing. That means that one can discriminate how to respond to stimuli. In the present society, people have the idea that the cause and effect are all spontaneous. Spontaneous in this respect, they think that as soon as there's some stimuli, one is obliged to respond. They give the example of Pavlov. Pavlov was some scientist, and he had some dogs, poor dogs. One time Prabhupada asked one person, one Indian gentleman, "What do you do for a living?" And he said, "I'm a biologist." And Prabhupada said, "Poor frogs." So Pavlo had some dogs, and he'd ring some bell, and then offer some food to the dogs, and the dogs would at once salivate and eat the food. So after some time, by putting the stimuli and the response together, he would simply have to ring a bell, and the dog would immediately salivate. And the idea, this is proof that these bodies we're in are simply mechanical machines. They respond by stimuli. Automatically, there will be some response. But we are not dogs, hopefully. That a human being is supposed to go beyond simply responding by stimuli and response. Not that the cause is there and therefore there must be an effect. But by use of one's imagination, by use of one's conscience, by use of one's free will, by understanding what is actually to be done, and therefore dovetailing one's free will with what actually should be done, then the result can be that in between the stimuli, one can decide what is an appropriate response. So that is called manomaya. It is the job of the human being to be able to discriminate what is the appropriate thinking, feeling, and willing. And above that is vijnanamaya, and that platform, one is able to understand that I'm not my body, that I'm actually a spiritual being. Therefore, my real activities should be spiritual. Or as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, that one should discriminate between activities of the body and the activities of one who understands that he's not, than the spiritual activities of one who understands that he's not the body. In other words, not only are there activities of the body, which we're all familiar with, but there are actually activities of the soul, which most people are not familiar with. So that is called vijnanamaya, some understanding that actually I'm a spiritual being, therefore I have spiritual activities. And anandamaya abhyasa, that is the real life of the soul that he's searching for. It's a life of pleasure. And on different levels of consciousness, one is satisfied with different experiences of pleasure, but real pleasure is experienced in anandamaya abhyasa, in the relationship with the original source of all pleasure, or Krishna. So as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, everyone is actually searching for Krishna in his different manifestations. Some are satisfied, like an amoeba, simply devouring, surrounding something, some object. Someone may be satisfied by eating something that was formerly alive. Someone may be satisfied by the free will he can exercise by determining how to respond to different stimuli. Someone may be satisfied with understanding his spiritual identity and trying to merge into Brahman. But real satisfaction, it can only be obtained when one understands the source of all satisfaction, the source of all opulence, namely Krishna. So that's Krishna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita. And the whole Vedic literature is simply aimed at encouraging people to come to this understanding. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it only has this understanding. It doesn't proclaim that Agni is the Supreme Personality of Godhead or that Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It ultimately only explains that Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything, and the ultimate goal of all existence. Therefore, it is said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only accepted Ramananda Roy's statement when he said, Jnane priyasam urapastanamanta eva. That give up this tendency towards mental speculation. Now, the material world exists simply as mental speculation. She loves me, she loves me not, she loves me, she loves me not. Simply this, I'm attached, I'm reversed, I like this, I don't like that. The whole material world simply exists on this basis of whether I'll enjoy it or I'll suffer from it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed because Lord Brahma said, Jnane priyasam udarapastanamanta eva. They give up this tendency towards speculation. Ultimately, which leads one to the conclusion that there is nothing enjoyable in the material world and everything is the cause of suffering. That's the ultimate conclusion of all knowledge, and therefore one tries to get out of the material world. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, be patient, namanta eva, and one should jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam, that one should patiently hear the words spoken by self-realized persons. Stane stita shutigatam tanuvangmanobhir. Now, there's no need to change one's position. It is not that I am in one position. I cannot become a devotee of Krishna. I cannot realize the absolute truth. I cannot experience transcendental happiness. I must change my position. Then I can become peaceful, and I'll be able to understand what my position is, my spiritual position is. No, stane stita, in any position, one can understand Krishna, experience Krishna consciousness, if tanu vangmano bhir, if one patiently engages his body, his mind and words in Krishna's service. And if one does that, then ye priyasam, in practically every case, ye priyaso, jiva jito yaisi taistri lokyam, yasi taistri lokyam. Then Krishna, when he sees the endeavor of the soul to make progress towards him, then he reciprocates and reveals himself. And here it says, bhakti mam abhijananti. It is, one can only understand the absolute truth by that submissive execution of devotional service under Krishna's guidance and the guidance of his representative. Only by, as Krishna says, tesham eva nukam paratam aham agyana jamtamaha. Then when Krishna sees how we're trying, then he reciprocates. Just like Mother Jasoda, when she was trying to bind Krishna, then every effort she made to bind Krishna resulted in a failure. No matter how much rope she got, it was always 2 inches too short. But after some endeavor, some struggle, then Krishna became compassionate and he agreed to be bound by Mother Jasoda. Of course, as we'll find out, around November, she was not bound by ropes, but by the love of Mother Jasoda. But we'll have to wait till I think November before we find that out. The month of Kartik. In other words, Krishna cannot be obliged to be bound or be revealed by anyone. It's only by the feeling or the sentiment towards Krishna that Krishna feels himself obliged to become bound by his devotee's love. Therefore, the whole endeavor to understand the absolute truth cannot go on simply by mental effort, by intellectual adjustments. It can only go on by surrender. By the surrendering to Krishna, and that means to surrender to Krishna's representatives. Therefore, the very process of devotional service executed under the guidance of Krishna's representatives is the process by which one understands everything. Jnanam, vijnanam, what is that? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that if you know this science of Krishna consciousness, then you're said to be the knower of everything. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vaksham asheshataha yaj gyatvanaiha bhujyam yaj gyatavyam avashishate. Just by hearing from Krishna, or Krishna's representatives, by executing devotional service, that as Krishna reveals everything, then everything becomes revealed. Or as Krishna reveals himself, then everything becomes revealed, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Jnanena tutat agyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham adityavaj jnanam prakashiti tatparam. But if one tries some other way, making some other adjustment, and thinking that one will get an understanding, what is the cause and what is the effect? In other words, we want to find out what is the cause of happiness and how to get that happiness. What is the cause of this material world and who is behind it? What are the laws, etc.? All these are part of cause and effect. Unless one tries in that way, then he'll become just like the impersonalists, the Mayavadis, the atheists, the demons, who ultimately they say, asatyam apratishtam te jagat ohuranishvaram aparashvaram sambhutam kimanya kamahaituka. Generally, most people believe that there is no cause behind the material world. It's anishvaram. There's no controller here. Somehow or another, it's going on by some inexplicable laws. As one big atheistic scientist said, one day we'll be able to reduce all the laws of material nature. You'll be able to fit them on your T-shirt. We'll figure out what the laws of material nature are, and then we push a button, and everything will be very nice. And if we don't like you, we'll push another button and you'll be finished. We'll be able to control everything. We'll be able to change the winter into the summer and the summer into the winter. We'll be able to make old people young people. We'll be able to make heaven hell. Because we'll figure out what the laws of nature are, how everything is going on, and then we'll control everything. So this is the demons. This is their philosophy, that by some manipulation of, by some cultivation of knowledge, one day we'll discover all the laws of nature and we'll become God. Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ohur anishram. There's no controller, there's no God. It is all based upon sex life, sense desire, and therefore has no other cause than lust. And what is there, what happens? That following such conclusions and loss to themselves, the demoniac, they create horrible, unbeneficial works, which ultimately are meant to for the destruction of the world. Etam dristim avashtabhya, nashtatmano na buddhaya, pravant yugra karmana, shayaya jagato hita. So ahita means, hita means beneficial, and ahita means everything they're doing is unbeneficial. So unless one understands that Krishna is behind everything, unless one surrenders to Krishna's instructions, executes them, and everything one does is inauspicious. So although we may invent so many theories of what's good and what's bad in the material world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said ultimately everything here is bad, and the worst thing is to deny Krishna. As Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, the greatest violation, the impersonalists, they don't know that the greatest violation of the Supreme Lord's laws is to deny the Supreme Lord. That's the worst thing. And practically everyone is doing that. And therefore, pravant yugra karmana. Because they deny Krishna, they don't take Krishna as the goal. They've invented the sense gratification as the highest goal. Make money, get power, and enjoy sense gratification. According to one mafiosa, he said that even greater than sex life is the power. Ability to control things. I don't know if it's a Shastic reference, but in any case, people are mad after the sense gratification, which in this age comes under the heading, somehow or another get money. Get money, and that will make your life successful. You'll be able to buy the apartment that you want, get the car you want, get a nice bank balance so when you retire, you can go to the beach and play shuffleboard. Or whatever else they play. And this way, up until the last moment of your life, you can watch color television, have an air conditioner going, and eat your TV dinner. What more could you want? And it's all you do is have to get money, and then your life is complete. That is the goal. The cause of happiness is money, and the effect is so much sense gratification. But if one can understand that Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of everything, including opulence, as it says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna confirms it, after hearing the whole Bhagavad Gita, after hearing Krishna's explanation, after asking so many questions, the conclusion at the end is Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partha Dhananjaya Danordana, Tatra Shir Vijayo Bhutir, Dhruva Nitir Mamir Mama, Dhruva Nitir Matira Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, morality. That is my opinion. And on the other side, wherever there is not Krishna, there is no morality, there is no real power, there is nothing. There's no victory, it is only defeat. Therefore, we should try to understand how everything comes from Krishna. Don't decry Krishna that he didn't give us exactly what we wanted. He's not such a nice person. Even my mother tried to do the best for me, but he doesn't seem to give me exactly what I want.
understand how Krishna has arranged everything for our benefit, and therefore be tolerant in the midst of distress and anxiety and problems, and not to become overly joyful when we actually do get what we want, but to patiently engage everything we have in Krishna's service with the idea of pleasing Krishna, and then we'll get the actual goal of life, which is loving devotional service to Krishna. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes. Yeah, the three modes are connected to everything. So obviously, anamaya is mostly the mode of ignorance. And pranamaya, maybe a little bit more into the mode of passion. And when you get to manamaya, it's passion. And then when you get into vijnanamaya, you get into the mode of goodness. And anandamaya abhyasa, that's vasudev, sattva, pure goodness. We can be, if we simply gobble it up like an amoeba, then that's more or less anamaya. If we're an anamaya abhyasa, thinking of Krishna while we're doing it, that's pure goodness. So it depends where our consciousness is. The soul, he's actually transcendental, but according to where he places his consciousness, that's the modes of nature he gets into. So if he's in the transcendental consciousness, everything he does is transcendental. And if he's in the mode of ignorance, what he does is in the mode of ignorance. If our prayer is, you know, you're down here and we're down here, let's eat. That's not, in other words, rather than sharira vijudal jotendriya tayakal, which is a whole prayer describing what the nature of our existence is in the material world. But ultimately, if we engage ourselves in Krishna's service, then we become purified and spiritualized. Not that here's something to eat, let's get into it. Enough with the prayers. Yes. Well, we should eat slow enough so we can chew the food. Otherwise, there's no other part of the body which chews the food for us. So we shouldn't swallow our food and pray that somehow or another Krishna takes care of the rest. We don't have time. And we shouldn't eat so slowly, you know, that we're in slow motion. That, you know, an hour or two later, after half the food has been digested, we're still eating more. That's not good either. We should eat. The best thing to do is, generally when we start exercising our tongue and our jaws, then we become inspired to speak. And so we start speaking about anything that comes to my mind. At that time, we feel inspired to start explaining everything that comes to my mind to my neighbor. But at the same time, if we do that, then we'll eat very slowly, because we'll take one bite and say 10 words. And we'll also swallow a lot of air, so that won't be very good. So better to try and eat silently as much as possible. And chew the food. And then eat as much as it takes to fill our stomach, at least partly. And then do our service. And if we can remember Krishna while we're eating, then our life will become perfect. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.